Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are tearing through a stack of sources that detail this really profound, quiet shift happening in decentralized finance. It's a shift so significant, it kind of upends how we think about the future of the entire financial stack. So our mission today is to analyze how these perpetual decentralized exchanges, or perp DEXs, are transitioning. And they're not just moving away from competing with centralized exchanges, CDXs, they're becoming this fundamental global financial infrastructure. And here's the paradox we have to start with, which is really the whole reason we're doing this deep dive. During the deepest, quietest part of the recent crypto cycle, on-chain perpetuals just absolutely exploded.
That's it. That finding's the structural foundation for this entire conversation. And we're not talking about some small spike here. The data is, it's clear. In October 2025, monthly on-chain perpetual volume went over a staggering $1 trillion.
A trillion.
A trillion. And this broke all the historical records. Massive year-over-year, month-over-month growth. And you have to remember the context. This was happening precisely when general market momentum was flat, or even declining.
Right.
So while CEX spot markets were stagnating and even CEX futures growth was slowing down, these decentralized platforms were hitting hyperdrive. I mean, platforms like Hyperliquid, Apex, Orderly, they weren't just seeing volume. They were quickly entering what some call the $100 billion cumulative volume club.
Which is sort of an unofficial marker, right?
Exactly. It signals they've achieved institutional-grade depth, that the liquidity is sustainable. It told everyone this migration was structural and it was serious.
Okay, let's unpack this. $1 trillion in volume when the market's cooling off. That suggests this wasn't just, retail boredom or short-term hype. This requires sophistication. So what exactly drove that structural migration? Because initial incentives, like airdrops, they usually only attract temporary mercenary capital, right?
You're absolutely right. The early incentives, talking about Hyperliquid's point system, Aster's airdrops, rebates, they were the necessary spark. They lit the fuse. They created enough initial noise, enough opportunity to get that first layer of users in the door.
But just the first layer.
Just the first layer. Because incentives only attract farmers. The real accelerant, and this is the key insight from the sources, was the arrival of the structural participants. The money started flowing from professional trading desks, from market-neutral funds, not just airdrop hunters.
So how did these professional actors, these arbitragers, finally find a home on chain? I mean, historically, they prioritize speed and reliability over everything else.
They found consistency. That's the key. Arbitragers in these funds, they realized they could reliably harvest funding rate spreads across different venues. They could exploit small price inefficiencies between CEXs and DECX, and this is crucial, they could perform real-time on-chain hedging against their bigger CEX positions. They found a predictable edge.
Ah, okay. So because those arbitrage opportunities were reliable and consistent, the institutional desks and the dedicated market makers followed, and they're the ones who inject the deep, stable liquidity that everyone else actually needs.
Precisely. And that's the moment perp DEXs could genuinely support, institutional-grade trading behavior. And this isn't just about facilitating trades. It creates a self-reinforcing financial economy for the underlying chains.
What do you mean by that?
Well, derivatives trading has become one of the most profitable on-chain activities. It generates huge revenue, not just from trading fees, but from L2 sequencers, which, for anyone who doesn't know, are basically the components that batch up transactions on layer twos and send them back to the main chain, like Ethereum. So that revenue stream, plus Oracle fees, plus DEX fees, it turns decentralized derivatives into a core profit engine for the chains hosting them.
That elevates the whole discussion. So the market didn't just grow because the incentives were large. It grew because those incentives created just enough initial depth for that high frequency, that real structural flow to finally take root. It turned a product into a core system component.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So let's pivot to the friction question. CEXs offer a known quantity, right? Smooth interfaces, speed. If this structural flow is migrating, why are professional traders finally changing their habits? The sources identify five key forces pushing this.
Yeah, and these five forces really systematically dismantled those traditional friction points one by one.
So what's the first?
The first is just familiarity. A lot of these new decentralized platforms, like Apex, for example, they deliberately copied the look and feel of major CEX like Binance or Bybit. They realized that if the user interface, the UX, was basically identical, the learning curve just vanishes. It massively reduces the cognitive load of switching. Traders felt right at home.
Right.
So removing that crypto weirdness factor was the initial unlock. What about the core philosophical argument then? the reason DeFi was even created.
That leads directly to the second force, trust. The CE's model has suffered serious reputational damage because of the fundamental opacity of their operations, specifically the risk control black boxes and liquidation opacity.
Wait, let's pause on that. Liquidation opacity. What does that actually mean, and why does it matter so much to these big traders?
It means that you, as a trader, you don't actually know when or how the CEX liquidation engine is going to fire. The logic is secret. It's proprietary. It's run off chain. This creates a huge amount of uncertainty and systemic risk, as we saw with various CEX collapses where risk management just failed spectacularly. So now traders actively prioritize verifiable execution, transparent liquidation logic, and of course, self-custody. On a perp DEX, the code is public. You know the exact parameters that will trigger a liquidation, and the whole process is managed by immutable smart contracts, not some centralized human-run risk desk.
That's a huge driver for anyone with real capital on the line. Okay, so the third force is performance. This has historically been the biggest DEX killer. If I'm trading millions, I need instant execution.
Correct. Latency, depth, execution determinism. They are absolutely critical in derivatives. For years, decentralized systems just couldn't compete. But that gap has narrowed dramatically. With liquidity getting thicker and all the tech improvements, PerpDX is now gradually reaching the minimum performance threshold needed to attract that high-frequency flow. It might not always be faster than a Binance, but it's fast enough that the benefits of trust and self-custody outweigh that marginal speed difference.
So it doesn't need to be demonstrably better on speed, it just needs to be good enough to make the other benefits worthwhile. That completely changes the game.
Exactly. The fourth force is protocol-level safety. We're seeing advanced users look past the shiny UI and focus on the system's foundation. They're prioritizing settlement on core infrastructure like Ethereum, using transparent, over-collateralized stablecoins, and making sure the Oracle feeds and liquidation mechanisms are robust and auditable. These things have become core decision factors.
And then number five brings us back to incentives, but with that nuance you mentioned earlier, how do you keep the liquidity after the airdrop is over?
Airdrops are the ignition. They get users on board. But what converts that temporary behavior into a permanent habit is the long-term structural incentives. So we're talking about deep liquidity, super competitive fee structures, stable funding markets. Liquidity attracts more liquidity. Once that mercenary capital establishes the initial depth, the competitive fees are what keep the professional market makers engaged. Liquidity is the engine.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. If the decentralized platforms have pretty much solved the UI problem, and trust plus incentives is creating that critical depth, What's the single biggest bottleneck now? What's really holding the system back from fully matching CEX performance all the time?
And the sources are completely unified on this. The competition has moved beyond product features or, marketing. The real battle is happening purely at the infrastructure layer.
The infrastructure layer.
The current constraint isn't the exchange software. It's the chain underneath it. We're talking about layer two limitations, things like ZK proofs, roll-up throughput, settlement delays, and just raw transactions per second ceilings. Those chain limitations are what prevent on-chain perps from having that true, sustained CEX-level smoothness.
You mentioned ZK proofs. That's a key term here. For our listener, can you just briefly explain why ZK tech is both the solution and, right now, part of the bottleneck?
Sure. ZK stands for zero knowledge. And ZK proofs allow a system to verify that a huge batch of trades is correct without having to re-execute every single one on chain. This is revolutionary for speed. But generating those proofs takes a lot of computing power and time. And that creates a momentary constraint. That's the roll-up throughput issue. Right now, everyone is intensely focused on optimizing that proof generation and settlement speed.
And the solutions are pretty dramatic. We're seeing protocols basically decide that generic chains just aren't fast enough anymore.
That's right. To solve this, they're building their own dedicated high-performance chains, often their application-specific roll-ups. We've seen platforms like Apex aiming for, million TPS ambitions. They're literally building a financial highway just for derivatives, controlling every layer of the stack to optimize for speed.
But building your own chain, that comes with trade-offs, doesn't it? You might be sacrificing some interoperability or maybe even moving away from the maximum decentralization of a big base layer.
That is the strategic decision every single one of these platforms is facing. They're deciding if they can trade a marginal decrease in, say, settlement decentralization for a massive increase in performance. And right now, the market seems to be rewarding the ones that prioritize performance as long as they maintain that core of verifiable trust. It's a necessary compromise to compete.
And beyond the tech, the sources point to these massive non-technical challenges too, specifically education and regulation.
Absolutely. The cultural divide is huge. In Western markets, there's a growing acceptance of self-custody and verifiability. But in many large Asian markets, especially Chinese-speaking regions, people still lean heavily on CVXs. This is often just due to misconceptions about how difficult or risky decentralized trading is. So growth in these huge regions depends entirely on focused education, not just throwing more incentives at them.
And then there's regulation, the long-term existential risk for anything that's centralized.
Precisely. If this is truly going to be global infrastructure, it has to be robust against global scrutiny. Any platform that relies on centralized custodians or some kind of shadow risk structure, it's facing long-term existential risk. The winner in the next decade will be the genuinely decentralized ecosystem that can survive the next compliance cycle cleanly.
So the mandate is clear.
It is. Winning platforms have to solve both sides. They need sustainable LP incentives and professional MM programs to build that institutional depth. And they need to couple that with a perfectly smooth, friction-free experience for retail. This next decade is 100% an infrastructure race.
So the trajectory is obvious now. Perp DX is evolving into real financial infrastructure, not just another category of DX. This isn't about competing on crypto futures anymore. It's about fundamentally replacing the underlying architecture.
Okay, so if it's becoming infrastructure, what's the ultimate goal here? What other assets are they looking to bring on? The goal is massive. It's to become the global settlement layer for derivatives trading itself. This means expanding way beyond crypto futures into assets that really benefit from 247 global cash-settled trading.
So you're talking about?
We're talking about Forex, commodities, global indices, real-world assets, or WA, equity fragments. The door opens wide. Mm-hmm. These platforms are positioning themselves to host the entirety of global derivatives, trading in a decentralized, automated way.
And the human element starts to fade as well. The sources we looked at discuss AI reshaping execution in a profound way. How does AI fit into this new architecture?
Trading AIs will manage critical functions entirely on-chain. Imagine autonomous funding arbitrage, dynamic risk management, liquidation hedging, multi-venue strategies all run by code. Like liquidation hedging means the protocol itself can use AI programs to hedge its risk exposure instantly and transparently when a big liquidation happens. In this world, human traders transition from operators to high-level supervisors, overseeing these vast autonomous AI trading structures.
And the user. The user won't even realize they're on-chain, right? Thanks to things like account abstraction.
Correct. Account abstraction and cross-chain invisibility will just eliminate all that traditional wallet friction. It'll make the user experience feel CEX smooth. You could log in with an email or a social account, not some complex seed phrase. The user won't know or even care what chain they're on. It'll just be the fastest, cheapest, most trustworthy way to trade.
It's an autonomous engine.
That's the end game. An autonomous derivatives engine. On-chain matching, automated liquidation, transparent margining, the whole thing. The platform, in its final form, really resembles an operating system, not an exchange. And we have this amazing quote from a researcher here who says, future PERP protocols won't be companies. They'll be autonomous financial organisms.
That is a staggering vision. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've basically outlined the blueprint for success. If we summarize it, there are six non-negotiable deliverables for the winners in this race. One, they have to provide CEX smooth execution. Two, they have to maintain fully on-chain trust and verifiability. Three, they need those breakthrough infrastructure-level performance wins driven by dedicated chains. Four, they have to ensure sustainable depth from institutions. Five, they need to build environments that are AI-native for seamless automated trading. And six, they must maintain global compliance readiness through genuinely decentralized operations.
In final synthesis, this is the takeaway. PERP DX isn't just a better DX for trading crypto. Its momentum is structural because it's replacing the fundamental architecture behind global derivatives trading. Its final form is the blueprint for the next financial stack. It's transparent, it's automated, it's global, and it's pretty unstoppable.
And that brings us to our final provocative thought for you to mull over. If these perpetual protocols do evolve into these autonomous financial organisms trading real-world assets, global indices, and commodities 24/7 without any human intervention, what new forms of macroeconomic stability or instability could emerge from a world with fully automated, decentralized risk management? Think about the global implications of removing human oversight entirely from the world's most powerful financial instruments. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.